Mini episode 1752 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 2024 FDH Lounge AFC West Preview. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with my fellow original dignitary in the FDH Lounge, Chris Galloway. And as is our custom, we are going through, we're breaking down all of the divisions in the NFL for the season. And again, we started with mini episode 1748 this year, the AFC East preview. We have a handful of macro level notes for the season. Not many of them because it was not as busy an offseason as is generally the case in the NFL. But if you want to hear our macro level notes, they're right there. And we're going through again division by division from there. And the format of this comes from Fantasy Football Draftology 2024, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. Go to pages 17 and 18. It's one run-on sentence for each NFL team, and that's what we're doing here. We're borrowing that for our divisional previews and going through, and we are reacting to my notes that I have in there. And this is the predicted order of finish division by division. Interestingly enough, before we get started on this one here, Chris, you had said in the macro level notes that you didn't see hardly any teams in the league that were improved off of last year. And I think that is generally the case. And I'm going to start here in a minute with my notes on Kansas City. And they're an oddity because most teams that go back-to-back on NFL championships, winning their Super Bowls, they don't generally look weaker and more human the second year, significantly more human than they did in the first year, and thereby having room to grow in the third year. I think Kansas City, oddly enough, bucks the trend of what you're saying. Somehow or another, the team that won back-to-back Super Bowls, I think, looks a little better coming into this season than they were last season.
I would agree with that. Actually, funny, I thought the same thing. I thought they could be slightly better in the regular season than they were not very good in the regular season. If you remember midway through last year, there was talk of like, you know, what's wrong with Kansas City? You know, are they a wild card team? You know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they rallied and put it together. They're a veteran club with good coaching and the best quarterback in the game. And so, you know, they got knocked around, but they weren't out. Yeah. I agree with you. I've got them at 11 wins this year. I think the ship will steady some and, you know, a little bit less drama for them. And then as far as the rest of that division goes, it's just sort of like, bleh. No, I have nobody else making the playoffs.
I don't either. I've
got the Chargers. At like seven wins, and the Broncos at about 5 wins. And the Raiders at, like, you know, again, okay, 7 wins. So, you know, it's a mixed bag of sort of like the Chargers are on the come because, look, as much as we all, you know, have our issues with Jim Harbaugh, the reality is he wins wherever he goes. He'll get them to where they need to go, but it's not going to be this year. The Broncos are a mess. Bo Nix, Sean Payton's been revealed as a fraud. You know, that's going to flame out. They're going to win 5 games. And I think the Raiders, you know, with Antonio Pierce, I think he's showing that he can do some things, and he's added a couple interesting coaching pieces. I think Gardner Minshew actually was born to be a Raider, oddly enough.
I think that
looks like a good fit for them. I think the Raiders are a competitive team, and they go 7-10, and the Chargers will be getting better, and they'll go 7-10, and the Broncos are going to be generally dog vomited, you know, 5-12, And that's just, you know, the Chiefs will rip through a weak division.
Well, I have the Chargers making it as a wild card. Interestingly enough here...
Not gonna happen.
Okay, well, here's what's funny. We're actually going to kind of turn this on its head because you've given some of your thoughts for the division here. So just see if you have anything to react to off of my one run-on sentence for each team. By the way, it's not a run-on sentence for Vegas because I didn't need a surplus of words. It is a run-on certainly for Kansas City. Kansas City, thinking back to teams such as New England in 2005, Dallas in 1994, San Francisco in 1990, and Pittsburgh in 1980 and 1976, leaving aside Denver in 1999 without John Elway, it's very, very rare to see a two-time Super Bowl champion returning in stronger fashion for their run at a three-peat, but these Chiefs are exactly that, with the legal status of Rasheed Rice to keep this team from running away from the pack, and the fact that others on the team are having their own brushes with the law could trip up this team through some of the same reasons as Dallas in 1994 with the entitled attitudes. Told you it was a run-on. L.A. Chargers. We said a year ago that the Chargers had more holes than most people would have thought, and their collapse proved that, but they upgraded their coaching and the overall roster in the offseason, albeit the turnover at wide receiver, could lead to a difficult start to the year. Denver. This is a team in a weird and pretty bad spot after absorbing the devastation of the Russell Wilson buyout with a horrible QB situation, fewer holes but almost no impact players on offense, and much more depletion than the defense, which helped keep the team quasi-afloat over the past few seasons, has recently seen. Las Vegas, we don't need a surplus of words to tell you that this roster is a nightmare on both sides of the ball. Have at it, Chris.
I think that's generally fair. I think the Raiders are going to be more scrappy than you do. But again, I mean, that's like you've probably got them at 5 wins and I've got them at 7. I mean, that's not saying a lot. You know, the Broncos are just – you're not winning a bunch of games with Bo Nix.
No.
I mean, and Wilson is a backup. Like, they're not competing. And that roster's gone backwards. And Sean Payton isn't he doesn't have the I don't think he has the mental makeup to deal with being a loser and being a loser again and having people talk about how he's a loser. It's going to be interesting what happens in Denver. But again, the Chargers, look, there's talent on that roster, but they made some moves. They had to make some, you know, some course corrections on some stuff. I believe in Harbaugh as coach. They're going to get better, but they're just it's not going to come together this year in year one. You know, again, I've got them at like, you know, like 8 wins, something like that, 8-9, just missing, not getting in the playoffs. But they'll be a tough out, and people will be able to see, you can see the building blocks in place for how they're going to improve. You know, in the draft, the focus on the offensive line, the defensive line, he's going to return that team to, you know, the basics of how you win football games, and he's going to build a tougher culture there than they've had in the past, and he's going to lay the foundation. And if you're a Chargers fan, you'll have something to be pleased about with the direction it's going, right? But it's just you're not going anywhere this year.
Well, one of the things is that I have Denver at 5 wins and Las Vegas at 4 wins. So I've got the Chargers getting 4 wins right there in that division from them. That's why I have them at 11-6, because I'm handing them 4 wins right there and saying they go 7-6 in the rest of the games. So that's a part of it. I want to point out also, too, as I haven't done on any of the previous divisional previews that we've done, but also where I have the one run-on sentence for each team, also I have right there remaining AFC team needs. Here's what I have for Las Vegas. Now, the first one is more of a long-term need because Minshew is a perfectly cromulent quarterback, as Lisa Simpson would say, but you certainly must put quarterback as a medium to long-term need for Las Vegas. From there, I have them having needs at guard, running back, defensive end, and outside linebacker. I mean, that's a lot relative to this. You and I, had talked about this after the NFL draft, that the league is getting better and better at filling holes here. And if you're actually coming into an offseason and you're not filling holes, you're not just standing still, you're really kind of moving backwards significantly. And I see Las Vegas running backwards on that treadmill pretty fast and flopping on their face because of it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with your analysis. I just think they're going to prove to be a little scrappier than I think you give that coaching staff credit with, right? I think they were that team last year, devoid of talent. And yet somehow they squeezed a bunch of juice out of them. And I think Minshew will be, like I said, I mean, he's the little riverboat gambler. Clearly, they're not set at quarterback. I mean,
right.
They're going to need a quarterback. But this year, they're going to roll with him. And I think that, you know, we saw it last. We've seen it in the past. We saw it last year in Indianapolis. I mean, he can win some games, and he can have he'll have a couple clunkers. But then he'll have that one game where you go, "What was that? Like, holy cow! 4 touchdowns, 384 yards!" Like, he'll. So I see the Raiders as like this scrappy team that's under has less talent, but they're going to win a couple more games than you're giving them credit for. I see Denver folding fast. I see the reality of a rookie quarterback, an angry head coach, depleted talent. I see that locker room collapsing quickly. I don't think that locker room will collapse for Pierce in Las Vegas the way it will in Denver. Well, and sometimes that actually just matters.
That's true. And for anybody that watches the former GTV, which used to just be horse racing, which is now FanDuel TV, for anybody that watches on there, noon Eastern every day, with Sean Payton's Smoke Show daughter as one of the co-hosts there, I think it's safe to say that Sean Payton at this stage of the career is the second most impressive member of the Payton family.
I don't know about any of that, but I think his personality disorders have sort of pushed through a little bit in Denver. You know, he's not a very flexible guy. He's not a very compassionate guy, and he's gotten kind of worse as he's gotten older. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to play very well in a locker room with a younger team that's kind of rebuilding. You know, I know he's got this love affair with Bo Nix, but how's that going to work when Bo is playing like a rookie and Peyton's frustrated? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just see Denver kind of folding early in the season. And I see Las Vegas, despite the having less talent, continuing to be scrappy and fight. So we'll see. But I, again, the only team I have coming out of there for the playoffs is the Chiefs, because they're the only ones, you know, sort of really, you know, in a position to win this year.
Yes. Well, and what'll be funny is as we go along, if Denver is as bad as you and I think they're going to be, and yes, I think that's going to be the case, is watching that show noon Eastern time. And seeing them struggle to avoid talking about how bad Denver is because it'll put Sean Payton's daughter on the spot. So that'll be something to watch during football season here, to be sure.
How about all the butt lickers on Fox, like Colin Cowherd, who have been, you know, Sean Payton to do no wrong fan club? A lot like with Bill Belichick and stuff, they're going to find out how quick arrogance and lack of a Hall of Fame quarterback can really expose you as a coach.
Well, that's a thing, too. Like, that was a roster, like, when he got there, it wasn't necessarily like they need to rebuild tomorrow. But it was a weird place, right? Like, if you're a coach coming in, and I'm going to turn them around, and now he's looking at the fact that he's got billion-dollar ownership there in the form of the Walton family. And as you and I talked about, particularly in our AFC North segment, the money that is behind an ownership does matter to some degree or whatever, but like just when he got there, never mind the quarterback situation, the overall state of the roster, it wasn't like, oh, this is a team where they can just upgrade a little bit and they can be a team that can go for it all. You knew that it was going to require at least some degree of teardown before they would go anywhere again. And he just came in with like a bulldozer, like, I think we can win, you know, in the near term. And it just wasn't going to happen. I regarded it as an ill fit from the very beginning.
No, I agree with you on that. And I think that it's really a function of, you know, like you said, it wasn't a teardown. It was a remodel.
Yes.
You had a lot of decent parts there. Right. But, you know, they saddled him with Russell Wilson. And again, I think Russell Wilson has shown that, like, yeah, he's dumb. And he didn't handle that situation well.
Right.
And so it's like, to your point, it was a remodel, not a tear down and rebuild. And he kind of came in like, we're going to win now. And then it was like somehow along the way, he realized, oh, shit, we're not.
Right.
And so then it almost, they started to act like they were going to do a teardown, but only kind of half-assed did that.
Right.
You know, they dumped the Wilson contracts, strapped themselves financially so they couldn't do much of a rebuild. And so now the roster's just worse without any real, it doesn't really feel like there's a coherent vision for how they're moving forward and what they're building. At least I haven't seen it yet.
Right. And the thing is, if you're hiring, I think we would both agree, if you're hiring a Sean Payton, you do so under one of two scenarios, neither of which what was the one that we're talking about here, neither of which bears any resemblance to what we just described. It's either when you've had the teardown happen, you're a bad team, and you're ready to start getting good again, if you think that he could rebuild a team from that point in time. I mean, he kind of did in New Orleans, you know, about two decades ago, but if you think he's still capable of doing something like that, or a team that's been underachieving, and again, we can win now, we just need the right guy at the helm. And that, I think, would be the more likely scenario, is that if you think that he can come in and help put you over the top, again, if you think he can still deliver in that way. But this whole kind of thing of where you've got, and like you said, a remodel, that's almost worse than a rebuild, because a rebuild, now you wouldn't want him coming in at the start of a rebuild either, because he's just going to get impatient. But even a remodel is more subtle than a rebuild, but that's the kind of thing where it's much, much easier to be delusional and think we can just push through it and win now, and that's exactly what he did. He just came into the wrong situation, but the way that he's handling it, I think it makes you question, and probably me as well, whether the guy still got his fastball and could be a part of any kind of a situation to take a team over the top at this stage of his career.
Well, I think that's an exactly correct question to have about him. I also think is that the league has changed.
Right.
I mean, the league is different. The players are different.
Right.
And if you don't have the Hall of Fame quarterback, we have no reason to believe that Sean Payton can pull this off.
Right.
None.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not, right now, I'm just not a believer in anything going on there. And I think Bo Nix is going to have huge rookie quarterback struggles with an impatient head coach.
Yep. Yeah.
And I just feel like that's a locker room that might get very jaded, angry, and fall apart pretty quick. Where I think the Raiders know that, like, we're the outcasts. Nobody believes in us. Nobody says we have any talent. We like our head coach. We're scrappy. I think they'll keep fighting.
They might.
And I think that's why ultimately they'll finish with a better record. Not because that the roster's even better than Denver, but I think that team won't quit on Antonio Pierce.
Well, maybe, and you may be right on that one there. My thing is that, like, teams that are in that kind of a situation, yeah, they will, and it's just a matter of when that is. You're figuring that they'll make it through this year before the bottom falls out. But teams that are outmanned, they will keep pushing if they have the right coach to a certain point, and then it stops working. I just think it's going to stop working in the first half of the season, and then it's going to implode. Just because the frustration of being outmanned talent-wise and having all the talent gaps on this roster is going to catch up with them. But clearly you're seeing that as something where they can kick the can down the road a little bit harder, and that the ability to just grind through these games, play harder than the other team, is going to help them out.
Well, and I think that ultimately, yeah, they're going to get through the season, and then they're going to have to get the quarterback. They're going to have to go find good players in the draft. And they're going to have a couple key signings. Like, the Raiders are not on a good trajectory right now at all, just like the Broncos. Again, I don't see a coherent game plan here. So, you know, what I would say is, the future doesn't look great for the Raiders. They look like a bit of a mess. I mean, look, we'll talk about, you know, another division in the NFC. We'll talk about the Rams, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing the remodel.
Yeah.
As they go.
Yeah.
They move pieces out, moving pieces in. They're doing the remodel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can at least see what they're doing and understand it and go, well, it's kind of working.
Right.
Right? I mean, and there's a coaching staff that you believe in and ownership that will spend. And, you know, you can look at that, but you don't see that with the Raiders and Broncos. But I think we're sort of just, you know, we're nitpicking two franchises that aren't going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So us sitting here arguing over who finishes with 5 wins or 7 wins or whatever is really immaterial.
Well, true.
They're pulling up the rear in the division. They don't have a coherent game plan for a roadmap to the future at this point. They're not going to be a playoff factor. So, you know, I think from this standpoint, you know, we could argue all day about where that's all going, but.
Yep.
You know, as far as the season goes, they're not going to matter.
I'll leave you with this, and this is a point that I would think that you would agree with, but we'll see. And that is, if any Raider fan was to listen to my analysis of this season, and that they're going to go 4-13, that they would be probably homicidal, and they could get kind of dangerous, to be honest with you, having a Raider fan get homicidal at you. But in reality, any Raider fan, if I prove to be right, any Raider fan should be lining up to kiss my fat, hairy, white ass, because that's the scenario you want. They're not doing anything this year. They should be so fortunate as to chart the course that I have charted for them and go 4-13, because next year you get your quarterback. Next year you're drafting high in every round. You have a chance to have an impact draft and start turning this thing around here at this point. So I think you would agree with me that, like, my scenario for them is the best possible case scenario for the next couple of years for that franchise.
Well, in theory, yeah. I mean, if you draft well.
Yes.
Basically, yes. Tanking out this year.
Yes.
Would actually be really good.
That's right.
And again, we haven't dived into next year's draft with our friend Jason Jones. But
right.
Who's the number one quarterback next year?
Either Texas or Colorado's got him probably, and I'm not sure that either of them is the quote unquote Wemby of this draft class to where you want to tank. But you know,
I tell you what, man, Sanders is a guy I wouldn't want on my roster at all.
Yeah,
you talk about a selfish ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My God, I wouldn't want that guy's a cancer.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want him leading my team as a quarterback. But you know, Jerry Jones will be dumb enough to dump Dak Prescott and make a move for Sanders.
That's right.
In that draft next year, I believe that's what he's going to try to do.
Yes.
And that guy's a cancer.
Yeah.
So that'll be a mistake. But who's that? Does Florida State have a good quarterback? Don't they have a kid down there?
Yes, I think so.
I think so. Yeah. It's interesting. I apologize to the listeners. We're sort of off target a little bit. You're talking about the draft next year, but
yeah. But when the Raiders,
I know there's a couple of. There's Quinn Ewers in Texas, but I'm not a believer in him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see where to your point, as it relates to the Raiders or other teams that are going to need a quarterback.
Yep.
What's coming out next year that you'll be in position to get someone that could be another CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Or what appears to be a guy like Anthony Richardson.
Yes.
Or a Joe Burrow. Like, who's coming out that, to your point, could the Raiders, you know, set a fan salivate a little bit about that? Like, maybe we can get this guy because we have the second or third pick.
I mean, I would say Ewers at this point, but, you know, beyond that, I think we have to see. This has happened the last couple of seasons where. You know, the season gets going and guys emerge. I don't think anybody had Jaden Daniels as being a Heisman Trophy front runner a year ago at this time. So the season.
And I still don't believe him as an NFL quarterback. So
yeah,
you know, I think that's going to prove to be a terrible pick by the Commanders.
Well, and in terms of looking ahead to next year, I'm going to bring this segment all the way around on this note here, since I've alluded to this before of you being something of a Cowboys honk. That you could be living through a nightmare in 2025 if this forecast is correct. So our fellow Ohio University Bobcat, who I had on the show earlier this year, Dan McDowell, formerly of The Hang Zone on the Ticket in Dallas, taking the show independent to Patreon as The Dumb Zone. An awesome show, by the way. So they do a fair amount of Cowboys talk amidst their other tomfoolery and comedy and whatever. And they're saying on that show, put it down, a year from now, Sanders and Sanders, coach and QB in Dallas. You're going to get to live that experience, Chris.
That makes me want to vomit. What will happen is this. We'll get an understanding of who's in charge of that franchise.
It's Jarrah.
Well, if it is still Jarrah, that is a more likelihood. If it's Steven, if he has as much control as we start to think he is gaining and usurping from the old man and getting the old man under control and stuff, that won't happen.
Yes. Well, it'll be a very fascinating look.
But Jarrah, if it is Jarrah, I don't necessarily disagree with that. and look, I know our friend Jason is, 100% bought into all things Sanders, but and he'll listen to this episode and be angry at me, but I'm just not. I mean, I'm just not. I don't see it.
Well,
I see a guy who is arrogant. The coaching is questionable. Certainly the recruiting has been like, yeah, he gets a guy and then loses five guys. His son, I think, is, I've already said what I've said about it. He may be physically talented, but I wouldn't want that guy in my locker room leading my team. I think from a Cowboys fan, you better be afraid of that.
Well, you've just given me an opportunity to, here at the end of this segment, promote something, and that is, of course, the Buffs Beat section of Sports Illustrated, especially online here, where Jason is a writer. And actually, Chris, you may find this to be somewhat counterintuitive in the time to come, but some of the recent reporting that's been coming out of Boulder, well, Jason knows a thing or two about a thing or two, and events as they are transpiring on the ground there. You may be surprised from your perspective what Jason is seeing and will be reporting on. So let's just put a tack in that one here to see what the reporting is like this season for Colorado as far as everything with that program. But we've made it.
Well, Jason does a great job, and I would encourage everyone to read that. He really does a great job.
Yes, he does.
I'll be curious to see what happens with Colorado this year. I will be watching and paying attention, that's for sure. Mostly because of our good friend Jason Jones does such a great job. I want to read his stuff, and I want to watch the Buffs, and I'm going to follow it because of that.
Yeah, it is fascinating. You're right about that, and yes, thank you for mentioning that. He's doing a tremendous job out there here. So we are done with the AFC. We'll be getting to our playoff picks after we do the NFC divisions here, but any wrap-up thoughts on the AFC divisions here today, Chris?
I think we've nailed it. Mm-hmm. I think we have a clear playoff picture. I've basically got two teams per division other than the West, coming out of each division, so it won't be so lopsided. Again, on an overall sense, I think the Chiefs are going to be right there in competition. I think the Bengals will be right there with a healthy Joe Burrow. I don't believe in the Jets. I think they are mentally and whatnot with their kooky quarterback and their coaching situation. They're not. They feel like a team that's not gonna happen. Bills are fading. Dolphins built for the regular season, but not the postseason. So I think we've kind of mapped it out. I think the AFC could end up being, an AFC championship game of the Texans and the Chiefs as the most likely of the two teams to end up there. Maybe it's Texans-Bengals, but I think it's Bengals-Texans-Chiefs are the three teams that we're going to be looking at the end of the year. Two of those three teams are likely to be in the AFC championship game.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And here's what I'm going to say, Chris. I'm going to say this. That if you remember back a couple of years ago, and I think this happened 2 years in a row, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, the team that had to play the other two teams lost the AFC championship game. because the previous week took too much out of you. I'm going to say this year, I'm going to tease this for when we get to our playoff picks here in a very, very soon-to-be short forthcoming segment here within the next week or so. I think that holds up this year between Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Houston. The two teams that play each other in the divisional round, the winner will lose the championship Sunday game. So that's my pick, and we'll see how it all unfolds. But, Chris, thank you so much for these great AFC divisional previews here. Appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for checking them out, and specifically this one, for the 2024 AFC West.